right now. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. We bless the name that is above all names. The name of Jesus. The name of Yeshua HaMashiach. The saving grace of all humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give him a hand clap right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. You may take your seats if you're able. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it good? I can just imagine what Isaiah saw when he says that I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. And it says that, his train filled the temple. Amen. And a train is indicative of all your past victories. Amen. And we have experienced a major victory in this nation. Amen. And it's his victory. Amen. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by his spirit. Amen. It's the spirit of righteousness. Amen. Rising up. Hallelujah. I just want to say something to you, baby. The Lord says that up until now you have been seen, but not heard. And so that changes now. The Lord is about to give you things that the body of Christ needs to hear. Release your faith that it will be heard globally. In Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, when we were singing earlier, I believe that God has released a word that it's really amazing when God speaks, because I believe that how many people here aspire to be a songwriter? Have inspirations to write songs, to write a new song? Don't be intimidated. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. This is not the place for that. Somebody say amen. Lift up your hand high right now. Lift up your hand high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Listen. I want you to just close your eyes. I'm going to release this word upon you right now. In the name of Jesus, I release the gifting of worship and praise and writing of new songs. Lord, prophetic songs. I will say this again. Prophetic songs, saith the Lord. For when you declare prophetic songs, the Lord says, they're not just sung. They are declaring. And music has the divinely imputed grace to unify the voice of a body or a people like nothing else. Therefore, when you write these prophetic songs, says the Lord, by inspiration of my spirit, they are going to unify a voice. And when that song is sung, it's going to be as one voice declaring a prophetic word, Rebecca Shanda, over a people and over this land. Now, you say this with me. Whatever you tell me to do, everybody, say it with me. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap right now. Amen. There's going to be some prophetic songs that are going to be written, and you're going to write them. You need to assume responsibility for the prophetic voice that goes over this nation. And nothing does it better than music or songs. When you declare these prophetic words, you're releasing one voice declaration that is a corporate voice, but at the same time it has one sound. It has one purpose. It has one vision. It has one declaration in it. And that it releases God's power and God's glory over this nation. Amen. Amen. One of the things that the Islamic a religion does is they go into a nation and they blare over the airways every morning. They blare their whatever it is they say and do. And it is a powerless, there's definitely no more power in it than the power of the voice of the Lord. But yet, the power in it is that it is united. It's done all over the land. It's done at exactly the same time. And it releases an ungodly force, an ungodly power over that nation via the airways. Amen. When the body of Christ sings anthems like the one we just sang, thank you so much for that wonderful song and worship. When we do this, we are really literally releasing into the airwaves the creative power of God declaring that word. So when you write these words, do so by, in fact, I believe that the Lord has instructed me to say to you, get into prayer, get into your devotional times in the morning, whenever you do it, in the afternoon, at night, whatever works for you. But when you're there, get into that place expecting God to give you a prophetic word. And I challenge you to read the Psalms because they are prophetic songs. They're prophetic declarations that are being fulfilled even as we speak. Amen. And so when you do this, I believe that God will reveal things to you that you need to write down. He'll give you the melody. He'll give you the word. He'll give you the phrases, the lyrics. And it's not about popular. It's not about being a hit song. It's not about hitting the charts or anything. It's about releasing God's glory and God's power. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless it for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about the message that I would share today, there's a number of things that have come to me that I believe God wants you to know. And I think it's for a season, a time such as this. And the time is, it's a time to rise up and to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And that is to, he gave me that scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was the word, Genesis chapter 1, which says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says this, and this has puzzled me for years. I mean, ever since I've known the Lord, this has been something that has perplexed me. I'm thinking, why didn't he just create everything perfect right from the start? But it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the waters. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. And this is a tremendous revelation that God has given us in Christ. And that is this, is that we are continuously confronted and we are assaulted with darkness and chaos and, you know, just this terrible stuff that the world brings about upon us. But the Spirit of God comes upon his people. And then the following verse absolutely demolishes the enemy. And God said, let there be light. And poof, there was light. Hallelujah. When we speak by the Spirit of God into this dark quagmire that we're in, into this bog of just wickedness and darkness and sin and all that stuff that besets easily, when we speak into that darkness and we declare light, we declare light. Somebody say amen. Something changes. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. And then it's beautiful the way that God demonstrated his strategies, because he did it day by day. He could have done it that quickly. He can do anything he wants. But I believe he did it the way he did to show us that there is a strategy. There's a progression. There's a way to do things. And we are confronted with it all the time. We see these things. And so we need to look at them. And we need to say, there needs to be more light here. And we declare light. Hallelujah. We need to say, you know, we need to separate the waters from the waters. We need to separate, you know, this from that and stuff. And we need to declare that. We need to see and we need to say, well, you know, a nice little plant here would be good. You know, a little plant there would be nice. You know, and so we declare it. Amen. And all of a sudden we see that things begin to take shape and begin to take form. I believe that God has given you the body of Christ and the body of Christ all over the world, but particularly here in Australia, a brand new canvas. I believe that God has given you a clear, brand new canvas. There's nothing on it. And I believe that God is saying to his people, now take what I have given you and make it what it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. And so give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. And I want to share this with you. And because I believe that you are in a new day. This is a new day. It's a new thing. This is the first day of a new day. Hallelujah. Amen. A new season, a new time. The easiest way to serve God is to do what he's doing. Amen. When we see what God is doing all over the world, that's an immediate clue to what the Spirit of God is doing, to what he's thinking, to what he's saying to his body all over the world. And right now, there's a resurgence of righteousness all over the world that is being manifested. In our country, in the United States, we had an amazing political change, a shift that took place. Even as we speak, even though the victory was 2 years ago, even as we speak, corruption is being exposed on a daily basis. Right now, there are justices of the peace that are going to jail for the corruption schemes that they did. There's people in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places that is being exposed and being arrested and being convicted and condemned into their sentences. But that was 2 years ago that the victory was won. But these things, like I said, it takes time. It takes time. The wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind fine. Amen. And I believe that you are in this season, in this nation, for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. I want to, the scripture that the Lord gave me for you this morning was Psalm 37 and verse 4. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. It has a twofold application. When we delight ourselves in him, then that delight in him, in who he is, causes certain desires in us. Amen. And then he looks at that desire, which resembles himself, and he says, I want to grant that. And that he'll grant the desire. Amen. And so this, I want to share it with you in this perspective. When you have a desire, like for instance, we were talking about songs just a few minutes ago. If you have a desire for a song, okay, we need to understand when we delight ourselves in God that the things that we aspire for, if you feel like you need to pray and fast, it's not your flesh. It's your spirit wanting that. If you feel like you want to read the word of God, it's not your flesh. It's your spirit hungering for God. If you feel like you want to love people, it's not human to do so. Anybody can love their own offspring. But only the agape people of God, the people that move in the love of God, can love somebody outside of themselves. Amen. And so when we have these desires, I want to declare to you that those desires are divine inspirations within you. They're divine inspirations. All of a sudden you desire to write a song. All of a sudden you desire to pray for people. All of a sudden you desire that you want to go to Israel. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You just have this desire that's born in you. That desire is nothing less than divine inspiration. When that desire is according to the purposes and the plans of God. And so when we delight in Him, those desires are going to be according to His desires, His purposes, and His plans. And if this is the case, then to respond to that desire is to walk in the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit of the living God that is inspiring this in you. As you respond to that desire and you act on it, you are now walking in the Spirit. Or to put it in more, proactive way, you are now walking in faith. And so follow the inspirations of the Spirit of God. Follow the godly desires of your heart. And you will find yourself that you're going to be moving closer and closer to where He is. Because every godly desire that is in us takes us closer to where He is. It's in His direction. And I have said this before, but I'll say it again because it bears repeating. It's something that will absolutely simplify your decision making. It will absolutely simplify the choices that you need to make. It will absolutely simplify what we consider major dilemmas or perplexities. And it's this. If God is there and you are here, the shortest distance between you and God is a straight line. That's simple physics. Amen? Basic. The straight line is the shortest and quickest distance and time between you and God. Now, God, in His infinite wisdom, grace, and omnipotence and sovereignty, has made sure that if you choose to follow after Him, amen? Then, and He doesn't want you to stray. He doesn't want you to, be deterred in your quest of Him. Then everything that you need must be on that line. If you need money, it'll be there. Somebody say amen. If you need a divine appointment, it'll be there. Somebody say amen. If you need divine resources, it'll be there. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you need an open door of opportunity, it'll be on that line. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything that we need to fulfill our destiny in God is on that line. Amen. And so as we pursue, or if you want to be a little more scriptural about it, seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and everything that you need will be added to it. It's right there. Amen. And so let's say that I'm moving in His direction. I want to follow God. I want to follow hard after God. Because of my good looks. Somebody says, you should be a movie star. There's a lot of money in it. It's a very... And me, knowing that I'm good looking and all that stuff, I think, yeah, you know, that's right. Somebody say amen. 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 So it's very easy for me to say, yeah. Looks appealing. Sounds attractive. It's really nice. What's wrong with being blessed? Amen. So immediately, I divert myself, and now I'm moving in a different direction, not closer to God, further away from God. And what's going to happen? I'm going to find myself straying, and everything that God had for me is still there, except that I am not. where I'm supposed to be. And so I need to make a choice because this beautiful opportunity has just presented itself. And so I say to myself, self, it's nice, but I'm not going to be able to go to church on Sunday. I'm not going to have time to read the word the way I want to. I'm not going to have time to pray the way that I want to. I'm not going to have time to fellowship with the brethren the way that I want to. I'm not going to have my corporate fellowship, assembling myself with the brethren and stuff like that. So I think to myself, self, looks nice, sounds nice, is nice. But nice is not good enough. I want perfect. Amen. I don't want just good. I don't want acceptable. I want perfect. Amen. And so I say no to that opportunity, even though at face value it might look like I'm losing something. It might look like I'm passing up an opportunity. I'm going to pass up an opportunity to buy that nice house that I wanted. If I just did that for 1 year, I'd be able to afford two houses. But slowly, I start losing that fire. And so what I do is I say, no, very nice. It looks nice. It's a good opportunity. Thank you. Appreciate it. But I've got purpose in my life. And my purpose is God. Amen. I'm going to follow this path. And it might look like a slow, less lucrative way to do it. But oh, the glory. When you get closer to Him and you can see Him like you've never seen Him before. You can hear the sound of His voice like you've never heard it before. You can experience His glorious divine presence like never before. All of a sudden, you're going to say, what is a few million? What is a house? What is that? What is a new car? What is that toy in the garage compared to this? No, I want this. I want God. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, as God lives, nobody that has ever chosen God over anything else has ever regretted it. You know why? Because in His presence is fullness of joy. I was talking to a lady just a few weeks ago, multimillionaire, filthy rich. The moment I walked into the house, she starts talking, and it's all pain. It's all grief. It's all sorrow. Her family is all this, what's the word? Yeah. Make up your own word. You have creative power. They're all separated. One son doesn't talk to the other son. The son never comes to visit the mother. The mother and the daughter-in-law and the children and all kinds of. I sat there for about 3 hours with this lady. From the moment I got there to the moment I left, it was all grief and sorrow and sadness. Yet she's a multimillionaire. She has a house that's right up to the sea. She has her own private beach and everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what would you rather have, that or the joy that I have inside? I have a joy. I have a peace. I have a love. I have a presence. I have a something inside of me that just won't let me be normal. We must be super normal. Is that a new thing? Yeah. Be super normal. Dare to be godly. Dare to have the joy of God in your life. Even if nobody else has it. Dare to have the peace of God. I do that to wake people up every once in a while. Amen. Dare to do it. And I tell you, you will begin to experience God like you never have before. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Your desires are his desires, because it is his spirit and his presence that inspires this. When you follow that desire in him, then you are now walking in the spirit. When you're walking in the spirit, you're walking in faith. You're not walking in a, I don't know if it'll happen. Well, I don't know if I should apply. They'll probably turn it down. Well, there's another guy that's applying for the same job, and he's more qualified than I am. If I bid for that house, somebody else is going to get it. It always happens. And so, like that. But faith says, no. Just do it. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and apply for the job. Go ahead and propose to the girl. One of the worst days of my life was there was this beautiful girl in school. The moment I saw her, I loved her. I mean, she was this perfect looking specimen. I was in junior high in the seventh grade. And I would just look at her and I would just go into a dream world. And it was just like, I could see myself. And then after a while, I find myself singing that song. It's just my imagination running away with me. You know why? Because my friend to boot, he comes in, he sees her, and he immediately goes over and says, you know, you want to go have a Coke or a hamburger or something like that? And she says, sure, yeah. Next thing you know, they're boyfriend and girlfriend. And here I am sitting with this. Watching them go by. Didn't even invite me. Amen. Faith just does it. Try it. Go for it. Believe in it. Believe that what God is inspiring you to do is of God. And so, as we do this, we begin to walk in the Spirit. We begin to speak in the Spirit. We begin to declare in the Spirit. I believe that God is telling you this. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 17, the word of the Lord says, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. And you know that the Hebrew context of remembering is muttering. You speak it. And I believe that what God is saying, don't talk about the stuff that's already happened. That's gone. Don't talk about where you came from. Don't talk about what happened back then. Don't talk about what they did or what they said or, you know, this. No, just neither consider the things of old. In that context, the word consider literally means do not dwell on the things that have happened. And what we need to do is we need to forget. This happens on all levels. It can happen on a personal level. If I sat here and told you how poor we were, you would cry and probably take up an offering for me. If I told you that my father died when I was 4, you go, oh, poor thing. That's why he's like that. And so, if I told you all of the bad things when I went to school and I wanted to study, stuff, and they would look at me and they would say, sorry, the classes are full. You need to apply for something else. And I'd say, well, what else is there? Well, we've got auto mechanics, carpentry, and gardening. I don't want to study that. I want to study chemistry. Sorry, classes are full. You'd say, aw. Everybody say, aw. Yeah, you start feeling sorry for me. And I start feeling sorry for myself. Next thing you know, we're all feeling sorry for each other. But this is a new day. So the Lord says, don't talk. Remember ye not the former things. Don't talk about it. If it's bad, let it go. Move away from it. The best thing that we can do from bad things in life is just move away from it. Just get away. Let it go. Our Jewish brethren are going to have to do this. And I understand the Holocaust and all that situation, but you know what? As long as they keep bringing it up and they keep talking about it and they get this happened and that happened, you can't go forward. The Lord says, remember ye not the former things, nor consider or dwell on the things of old. Let it go. And this is what I call connecting to your prophetic destiny versus your historical destiny. Our historical destiny is full of sorrow and grief and regret and resentment and pain and weeping and you name it, and it's all there. That's where it all comes from. But that's our historical destiny. We can't change it. It's over. It's gone. We are new creations in Christ. Therefore, all old things are passed away. Let it go. Neither consider the things of old, or do not dwell on them. Somebody has said that, you know, to forgive is human, but to forget is divine, or something to the effect. I understand. I can't forget that my father died. I can't forget that I was cheated out of education. I can't forget that I was treated certain ways. I can't forget those things. They're reality. They happened. But because I refuse to dwell on them, I latch on to my prophetic destiny. And when I think about those things, I don't think about them with negative feelings. I think about them and say, praise the Lord. That's the way it used to be. Now it's like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap right now. And so I believe that you can benefit from this particular principle in your own personal life. If things have, and believe me, everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. We've all been there. Amen? We all, you know, I've been in circles when one guy says, oh, you know, when I was young and this is and then this guy, he's not going to be outdone. He says, oh, that's nothing. You know, when I, and then this guy says, oh, listen to what happened to me. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're trying to see who got the worst. Instead of thinking of who's going to get the best. Amen. We need to change these things. We need to change the mental paradigm. We need to get a listen to me. We need to get a prophetic paradigm. You could be 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years old. You could be 99 years old, and you cannot dwell on the fact that you had interaction or relationship with your wife for 99 years or however long Abraham and Sarah were married, and no child came. Let that go. Hallelujah. And instead of thinking about all those things, he thought to himself, hey, God said he was going to give me a child. And I'm going to get it. Even though when he looked in the mirror, you know, turn the light down a little bit. You know what I mean? Or when he woke up and he saw Sarah, turn it down all the way. Amen. You need to do what you need to do to stay in faith. Amen. And he says, the word of the Lord tells us clearly that he considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing, hallelujah, that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Hallelujah. Amen. And what happened with Abraham? He got his blessing. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And so, because you're in a new day, I want to encourage you. Okay? I want to encourage you to go into this new season with all the faith that you could muster. Take the word of God and declare it over your prime minister, over your government, over your the powers that be. Declare them. Hallelujah. Don't go, oh, no, he's not going to make it with that bill. Did you know that Trump was trying to build a wall Rabakashanda, and the Democrats opposed him no end. They're trying to charge him 2 years of investigation, trying to smear him and everything. After 2 years, they find nothing. Finally, everybody's coming around. And I just heard that Pelosi are going to release the funds for Trump to build the wall. Doesn't that sound like Nehemiah to you? Hallelujah. There's going to be Sanballats and Tobiases all over the place. What are you doing? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to oppose you. They're going to hinder you. They're going to try to intimidate you and everything. But you know what Nehemiah and his people did? They took a shovel in one hand and they took a sword in the other and they started working. Hallelujah. And they finished the wall in record time. Hallelujah. Amen. This is where you are now. Hallelujah. I believe that you're building a hedge around this nation, a hedge of righteousness that the enemy will not be able to penetrate. I believe that you're in position right now to take your shovel on one hand, work hard in prayer, work hard in declaration, work hard in standing for righteousness, work hard and get the sword on the other hand. And when the enemy comes in, don't sit around and be intimidated by it, but you say, okay, if you want to fight, we'll do it your way. But if you want us to work, we'll do it the work way. But take your choice. Hallelujah. Amen? And I want to tell you something. Every time that people of God came against, and, you know, every time they came against odds that were totally against them, amen. They overcame. Amen. So we need to leave all your history. Get it out. In your own personal life. Anything bad that has happened, get it out. Get rid of it. Do not talk about it. Do not mutter this thing. Forget what's happened. It's over. It's past. It's gone. It's a new day. Hallelujah. Amen. And take your nation with you. Hallelujah. As you go, this nation will go. I heard a mighty man of God say this one time, and I believe it with all my heart. And it was in the U.S. He said, the problem of the U.S. is not the economy. The problem in the U.S. is not the government. The problem in the U.S. is not this, that, or the other. He said, the problem with the U.S. is the church in the United States. The church is the one that declares the direction of where the ship goes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we have a voice that is heard in heaven. Amen. The prophets of Baal and in Mount Carmel, they cried all day. They were cutting themselves. They were trying to get a response from their gods, their idols that they worship, and all that are deaf, dumb, and mute, and blind. But we serve the living God. Hallelujah. And they all day they cried out, and they were doing this, and they were, you know, going through all kinds of motions and all that stuff. And then Elijah looks over there and says, maybe he's out to lunch. But they kept on doing it and nothing happened. I know what the world does. I know what the media does. I know what the news programs do. I know what these politicians do. I know all that stuff. God knows it too. But they're crying to a deaf, dumb, and blind spirit. Hallelujah. No answer. Then Elijah gets up. Doesn't get overly excited or anything. He just says, Lord, send the fire. Let them know that I heard from you. And in the sight of the entire nation, this was an open thing that happened. All of a sudden, they see fire coming down from heaven. It's never happened before. But there's something different about it. It was God answering his servant. One against insurmountable odds. But this one had faith. That's what you have. God has given you a faith that is, this is the faith that overcomes the world. Amen. Even our faith. Amen. And that's what you have. So go into this new season with an absolute determination that you're not going to take no for an answer. You're not going to settle for second best. You're not going to agree with the enemy under any circumstances or in any front. But you will stand for righteousness. You will follow convictions and inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And you will not stop until it happens. Somebody say amen. They asked one, a Jewish statesman, they said, well, how do you know that there is a God? He said, the Jew. They've been all over the world. They've been lampooned. They've been persecuted. They've been trampled on. They've been cheated. They've been maligned. They've been, you name it, and it's happened to them. But they refuse to quit. Hallelujah. 1,000 years, 2,000 years. You're thinking, well, how long is this thing going to go? Then all of a sudden, poof, there's Israel in the eyes of all the world to see. Israel is born again. If you don't like life the way it's living, get born again. Amen? Yeah, all of a sudden, Israel is born again. I don't think that's just a quip. It's a divine prophetic manifestation. I believe that God is telling the world something about being born again. Israel is born again. The whole world is standing there blinking, wondering what happened. Do you think that Israel is going to stop and care what people are thinking or what they're saying? No, they're saying, hey, we've been praying this thing through for hundreds and thousands of years. You think we're going to now, because the UN has voted no, that we're not going to be a nation? Step back. We're going through. Hallelujah. And Israel today is one of the most prosperous nations on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Why? Because they know their destiny. They're hooked into their prophetic destiny. When you go to Israel, it's okay to go to the old landmarks. Go to the grave. It's okay. If you want to. It's empty. You can get a lot further by looking up there. I can tell you exactly where he is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Remember what the angel said to the ladies? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you go to Israel, enjoy the old landmarks. Don't remove the old landmarks. They're good. But don't stay there. Just walk by, look at it, and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's empty. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just thank God for the whole thing, but get in with prophetic Israel. Get in with the destiny of Israel. And the destiny of Israel that is going to, it is and it will be the manifested city of God. Hallelujah. And when the Lord returns, he's going to come back to that city. He's not going to go to New York. He's not going to go to London. He's not going to go to Beijing. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure he loves all those people, but he's got a purpose. He's got an appointment. He's going to come back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap right now. And so as we hook up with our prophetic destiny, which is before us, not behind us. Make sure that your thoughts are now according to your prophetic destiny. The Lord said to his people, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Therefore, your ways are not my ways. In other words, they were not thinking the way God thinks. Therefore, they could not be the way that God is. But when we start thinking the way that he thinks, then we start being the way that he is. Hallelujah. And when this happens, the Lord says this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so are my ways higher than your ways. Everybody else in the world is working at this level. But the level of God is beyond that. It's higher than that. It supersedes this. Hallelujah. Therefore, God's ways, the way that he'll win a victory, whether it's political, physical, or any other way, you can go to Israel and they've got films and testimonies of things that happened during the Six-Day War that will boggle most people. They have no clue what's happening. One Israeli officer met an Arab officer, and they were both in the same skirmish. And what happened was that when the enemy came in over a crest, all of a sudden they stopped. All the tanks stopped. And they all jumped out of their tanks and ran back the other way. And these officers met each other, and one guy asked the other guy, he says, "Hey, what happened on that day?" "Oh," he says, there was a huge angel right behind you guys with a sword in his hand. He says, "And when we saw it, we fled." It's not the first time that it happens. Joshua encountered an angel. Huge, the angel of the Lord with a sword in his hand. And all Joshua said, "Just tell me one thing." "What's that?" "Are you with us or against us?" That's all you need to know. If he says you're against you, say, "In the name of Jesus, may the Lord bind you." Amen. "I bind you in the name of Jesus." Amen. Somebody say amen. But if he's for you, then you know that you're in good company. You're going to win this battle. Amen. And so this officer said to the Israeli officer, he said, when we hit the top of the crest, we saw a huge angel. He says, "And we feared and we fled." Hallelujah. There's angels all around us. We have to win this battle. We have to win this war. Amen. Because the Lord God is with us. Amen. So do it on a personal level. Forget the past. Let it go. Don't talk about it. You don't need it anymore. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. But hook on to your spiritual destiny. Hook on to your destiny in the Lord. Hook on to your tomorrow. Hook on to the next season. Hallelujah. And I believe that, Rebecca Shanda, in the next few years, I believe that this nation could achieve, standards and measures of righteousness that it only dreamed of, because God is with it. Somebody say amen. And you can do it also on a national level. Right now, like I said, the easiest way to serve God is to do what he's doing. In Austria, the man that came to power, the leader of that nation, a young man, I can't remember his name, but he's a very young man. The first thing that he did when he came into power is that they went and shut down synagogues. And they garnered about 40 imams, I think, and they deported them. And I'm sorry. Mosques. I did that to wake you up, you know. They closed mosques. And they took imams and deported them. And the spokesman for Turkey said, "You don't know what you're doing. You're going to trigger a jihad." Intimidation. That's what the enemy uses. He wants to intimidate God's people. But I love that young man, that young leader, because he said, "This is what this nation has decided to do, and that's what we're going to stand by." You know, when Trump started talking about the wall, the Mexican people took it really hard. And there was a gentleman, they called him the Lord of the Skies, because he used airways to transport drugs into Mexico. And they caught him and he was doing time in prison in Mexico. But he was living like a king. He had his own, his own cell. It was really more like a house. And he had live music all the time. He had, all the steaks, anything he wanted. He just had this. He was living like a king. That's how much money he has. And then when Trump came into office and all this thing about the wall came up and all the Mexicans started getting all riled up about it. And you know that somebody told Trump that this guy, this drug lord, had vowed to kill him. He never said it, but somebody said it. And so then he escapes. He escapes from prison. And these people garner millions, billions of dollars. They raided one of their homes and they had a machine gun that was made out of pure gold with the guy's name encrusted in diamonds. Pure diamonds. And they confiscated it. But anyway, these guys have their filthy money. All of a sudden, they said he's threatening Trump. And then he escaped from prison. And everybody's kind of like, now it's really going to happen and all that stuff. You know what Trump said? When they told him that so-and-so threatened your life, he says, bring it on. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we need to do. We don't allow the devil to intimidate us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We do not allow intimidation to quell the voice of righteousness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Not because we're strong, not because we're rich, but because we're right. Hallelujah. Righteousness is acceptable to God. And so my courage and my boldness is not in the fact that I'm rich or I'm smart or I'm strong. No, my boldness comes from the fact that I know that what I'm standing for is truth. That's where my courage and my boldness comes from. Hallelujah. Do not allow the enemy to intimidate you. Amen. Go into this next season with everything that God has given you. And believe me, he's given you everything that you need is on that line. And the more you do, the more you get. Hallelujah. The more you move, the more he moves with you. Amen. I want to share this for this season with you. And we're going to pray. Because I believe God wants... God... You've heard of the battle at Beersheba. You've heard of the Anzac heroes. You've heard of the last supposed Calvary charge in history. You've heard of that. It catapulted this nation into the annals of history in the eyes of the world. Did you know that every battle this nation had won, none of them is celebrated except that one? Why? Because when they won that battle at Beersheba, it opened up a straight road to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That it opened up a straight road into Jerusalem. And then in December the 11th of 1917, General Allenby just waltzes into Jerusalem and takes it back from the Ottoman Empire. That's the battle that did it. And Australia and the Kiwis, they had a vital role in it. There were other people there, but the two main contingencies that achieved this glorious historical victory that is even celebrated to this day was Anzac. It was the Australian and New Zealand warriors that fought hand and foot to win that battle that opened up the road to Jerusalem. That is now, to this day, the capital of Israel. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap right now. And so You have, as a nation, you have a vested interest in what God is doing in the earth today. You have a vested interest in God's prophetic schemes. You have a vested interest in God claiming back His city, the city of God. You have a vested interest in the fact that God will come back and reign from Jerusalem, because you were the one, this nation was the nation that fought the battle, that opened up the way for the victory to be had. Amen. So this nation has a vested interest in the destiny of Jerusalem. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I believe that it happened in the past. It will happen again. When they proposed that Israel become a state in 1948, all of the nations of the world said no, except the United States said yes. They're the only ones that said yes. And then all of a sudden, 70 years later, the year of liberation, 70 years later, the sole nation that decided they were going to declare Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, no matter what the world thinks, was the United States. History has a way of repeating itself. And I believe that if this nation had a hand in opening up the way for Jerusalem to become what it is today, I believe that this nation has a vested interest in what God is going to do in its prophetic destiny of this nation relative to Israel. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. And so I want to declare this to you, and I share this principle everywhere that I go because it is so powerful. And I believe that it's second to none relative to your relationship with your God and the destiny of this nation, because you're in this nation. And it is this. There's a law of reciprocity. To reciprocate means to respond in like. It means that you're going to say things the way whatever is done will have a similar reaction. It's a reciprocal effect. And it's this. Listen to me very carefully. And I want to share this with you because I believe that we truly are, like the poet said, the architects of our own destiny. Jesus has made everything available to us that we need to become what we've been called to be. Now it's on us to take what God in Christ has done and become what God has called us to be. And it's in the law of reciprocity. You know, in one of Shakespeare's plays, Cassius says to Brutus, "It is not in the stars, my dear Brutus, but it is within ourselves that we are underlings." And this is what Cassius was telling Brutus. We are underlings because of ourselves. In the scheme of things, we are where we are because of ourselves. Because if it was up to God, we would not be walking as men. We would be riding horses as princesses. Because He made it possible. And so let me tell you what the law of reciprocity is. It's this. God will deal with you according to how you deal with Him. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 20. He said this. He said, "They that despise me will be lightly esteemed. But I will honor they that honor me." Amen. When we choose to honor God with our testimony and our life and our conviction, then God is obligated by that virtue in Him to honor you. Amen. In Psalm 18:25, He says, "With the merciful I will show myself merciful. With the pure, I will show myself pure. With the froward, I will show myself froward." What is God saying? The way that we are is the way that He will be with us. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8, He says this, Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, or purify your heart, ye sinners. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. To Abraham, he says, and I believe this applies to us, because we are heirs of the promise. Somebody say, I am an heir of the promise. We are heirs of the promise by faith of Abraham. Amen. In other words, what God promised to Abraham, you have become the heir of. You have inherited that blessing by faith. Okay? This is what he said to Abraham. After Abraham put his son on the altar, his dreams, his vision, his future, his destiny, his legacy, everything was in Isaac. The greatest blessing that God gave Abraham was that on that altar. But when he was about to do it, the voice said, don't touch the child. Jehovah Jireh was born, the provider. And then God said this to that man. He said this. This is reciprocity. Because you have done this. You ready for it? Remember, you have inherited this promise. You have inherited this covenant by faith. Galatians chapter 3. He says, because you have done this and not denied me your destiny, your future, your hope, your dream, your aspirations, the one thing that you have wanted all of your life, because you did not deny me this, he says, it will come to pass that in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. And he said, your friends, hallelujah, are my friends. How many people have looked at and say Abraham was a friend of God and kind of had this dreamy look in their eyes like, wow, I wish I was like that. Amen. We all do. But you know what God said? Your friends will be my friends. That means that God is saying to you, because you have chosen to bless Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he says, in being their friend, I am your friend. Hallelujah. He says, and your enemies, Ravakashanda, will be my enemies. I wish I had time to tell you the stories of what happens when somebody is against you and you are a friend of God. Who can be against you if he is your friend? But this is what God is saying. What am I saying to you with this law? Simply this, that your intimacy with God is not in his hands, it's in yours. We can sit here and say, oh, Lord, I want to have greater intimacy with you, all that stuff. And God is saying, well, come on. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. Honor him. He will honor you. Befriend him, and he will befriend you. Call to him, and he will answer you. Amen. One of the men that we admire most in the word is Enoch. It says that Enoch walked with God. The law of reciprocity says that God walked with Enoch. But not God walked with Enoch, therefore Enoch walked with God. No. Enoch walked with God. I want to encourage you to go into this new season walking with God. Get close to Him. Spend time with Him and He'll spend time with you. Sing to Him and He will dwell in the worship and the praise. Talk to Him, He will talk to you. Look for Him, He will look for you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8:17, the law of reciprocity says, I love them that love me. Love God and He will love you. Everything that God has made accessible to us is there and it's ours for the taking. All we need to do is take the initiative and declare that if I make the first step, God will take a step towards me. If I speak to Him, He'll speak to me. If I look for Him, He'll look for me. If I draw near to Him, He'll draw near to me. If I make Him my friend, He'll make me His friend. Amen. It's the law of reciprocity. And I tell you, you will become a force in this nation, such as this nation has never known. Because you will be the people of God in this place. Stand up to your feet. Sarabakasanda. Amen. Precious Holy Spirit, we call upon your presence, your power, your glory right now, right where we are. And I have no doubt, Lord, that these are your people. I have no doubt that every one of them yearns for greater intimacy with you. I have no doubt that every one of them wants to live a life that speaks to the world and says, so and so is a friend of God. I have no doubt, Lord, that they love you and that you in turn love them. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I have no doubt that they want to purify their hearts of anything that would hinder, anything that would impede, anything that would interfere, any obstacle that would keep them, Lord, from entering into that place. I'm talking about desire. Not current achievement, desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you the desires. Of your heart. Say this with me. Heavenly Father God, I have a desire in me to be your friend. I have a desire in me to talk with you like I've never talked to you before. I want to see you like I've never seen you. I want to hear you like I've never heard you. Oh, I want to walk with you like Enoch walked with you. Oh, dear God, in the name of Jesus, it is my desire to have a relationship with you that is second to none. I want you. Like David, I want to be an individual after your heart. In the name of Jesus, I stand before you now and I say, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Now, we're going to pray in the spirit right now just for a few seconds. But as we do this, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is going to work things into you right now that are going to change your paradigm. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way that you speak. It's going to change the way that you feel, your sentiments, your feelings, your emotions, your convictions, your will. It's going to change the way you see, the way you hear, the way you speak, the way you live, the way you act. Everything is going to change, because when God does a work, that work is abiding, and it is forever. Here we go. At the count of three, just begin to pray. One, two, three. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Holy Spirit, right now, create in us clean hearts. Create in us, renew in us an upright spirit right now, Lord. We want to be your friend. We want to love you. We want to have intimacy with you. We want to talk to you. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to know what your heart feels and thinks and pains for. We want to know you, Lord, like we've never known you. Pray, pray. Right now, in the mighty name that is above every name. Lord, new songs in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, prophetic words in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that our sons and our daughters will prophesy in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that young men will see visions in the name of the Lord. I pray that old men will dream dreams in the name that is above every name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that upon your servants and your handmaidens, you will pour out of your spirit for your glory, for your honor, for your power and your praise. Lord, show us wonders in the heavens above. Show us signs in the earth beneath, Lord. Now, for your glory, Lord, give your servants, give your people from all the way from the north to the south, the east to the west, and every city, every town, every hamlet, Lord, in between, in the mighty name of Jesus, release a mantle of glory upon this nation. Heavenly Father God, I declare that the destiny of this nation is not in the hands of politicians. It is not in the hands of legislation. It is not in the hands of its financial disposition, Lord. But I declare that the destiny of this nation is in the lips and in the hearts of your people. For I declare in Jesus' mighty name that all of the issues of life flow out of the heart of men. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just release, we unstop the hearts of your people. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that issues will flow out. You said in your word, Lord, that you make rivers in the wilderness. Ways in the wilderness, rivers and ways in the desert, even where there are none. That is talking about a new thing. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would make a way in the wilderness that has never been before. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that highways of righteousness would be created in this nation. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus on a mighty alliance of righteousness with Israel. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I declare that you're doing a new thing. I declare that there will be a new thing. I declare that the Australian embassy will be in Jerusalem in Jesus' mighty name. And you said, Lord, that you would open up rivers in the desert. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that in this mighty land of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would open up rivers of life, Lord, into the areas that are dry, into the areas that are famished, into the areas that are, Lord, unable to produce, Lord, acts or fruits or righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Open up a river, Lord, into the desert places. Oh, barakasanda. Let the river that flows from the throne of God, Lord, flow into every corner of this nation, from the north to the south, the east to the west, between, besides, beneath, above, in the name that is above every name. Oh, Lord, create a river. Create a way, hallelujah, where there is no way. I pray, Lord, for inroads into the media. I pray for inroads, Heavenly Father God, into the agencies, the schools. I pray for inroads into the judicial branches. I declare inroads, Heavenly Father God, into the banking system. I declare inroads into our communities, our societies, our cities, our province. In the mighty name that is above every name, Lord, we declare ways into these wilderness areas, Lord, that have not known righteousness according to your standard. In the mighty name that is above every name, I declare a highway of holiness. I declare a highway of righteousness between the capital of this nation in Canberra to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Rambaraka Sanda, Rabaraka Sanda. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice, and say, Lord, yes to the new thing. Yes to a way in the wilderness. Yes to rivers in the desert. Yes to prophetic Australia. Yes to prophetic Jerusalem. Yes to prophetic Israel. Yes to my prophetic destiny. Yes! Pray, pray, pray. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I believe. The Lord said, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Lord, show us where the wells of revival are in this nation. Show us, Lord God Almighty, where the gold and the diamonds are in this nation. Show us, Heavenly Father God. Show us, Lord, where the serpent dwells. Expose corruption in the mighty name of Jesus. Expose iniquity. Expose injustice. Expose unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus. We're calling upon you, Lord. And we say, answer us. And show us the things that we do not know, that are cornerstones of darkness. Show us where the dens of iniquity are. Show us, Lord, where the private councils of darkness are. Show us, Lord, where wickedness lies in the mighty name of Jesus. Show us the adders, Lord, that are setting cockatrice eggs. Show us, Lord, the spiders that are spinning spiders' webs in this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that the glorious light, that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will shine brightly upon this nation from north to south, east and west, and that it will expose darkness, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And spirit of truth, come, convict this nation of sin. Convict this nation of righteousness. Convict this nation of judgment, of sin because they believe not on you, of righteousness because you've gone to the Father and we see you no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. Right now, by faith, Lord, we take this nation and we place it firmly at your right hand by faith for your glory, for your honor, for your power, and for your praise. And these things we declare, these things we believe, these things we receive in the name that is above every name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And everybody said, amen. Give Jesus a hand clap right now. Amen.
Praise the Lord for the word of faith there. Hallelujah. It's a prophetic word for such a time as this. We seal it and we're going to close it. But I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. I want to bless your health, bless your job, bless your what you have, you know, business and so on. Feel this just a few days ago. I'm just carrying this thing, this word of blessing over you. And I've been carrying it for a few days. I believe. Generally, I try not to get into too much of just off focus, but I want to just release the blessing make good use of it, all the blessing, as the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless every person here. Bless their health. Bless their spiritual walk. Bless everything they own, their household, the children. In the name of Jesus, I bless these people, Lord, with joy. Bless their trips. Bless, Lord, their cars. The rooms be sanctified, Lord God. Jobs they do, be blessed. All the relationships in their workplace, I bless it in Jesus' name. Father, that you open the windows of heaven, Father God. And Lord, speak prosperity and blessing. On their way, O God, they will go from strength to strength. They will go from victory to victory in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Don't rush off. There's tea and coffee. Have a fellowship. Pastor will be available for personal ministry and prayer. Is that right? Yeah. All right.